everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. I do apologize for my voice. I do have a cold, thus a sore throat, so I'm going to probably power through this the best I can with a lot of slight pauses to take a drink of water. So please bear with me. That being said, I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and a safe shopping 3 days, meaning Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and, I'm going to say, even though it's Sunday, also a safe Cyber Monday, which has not happened yet. So either way, or will be happening as of this show drop, but I hope it was safe, I hope you had fun, so forth and so on. But we have a lot of things to cover. Fox News, Marvel News, and some reviews, and so forth and so on, that all I want to get through. But first things first, there's two important things I want to go through, and one of which is net neutrality. I don't think we've actually gotten into this a little bit, so I'm just going to sum up the best I can. Basically, recently, the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Committee, I think that's what it is, they're the ones that pretty much regulate what's said on TV and throughout the radio, TV, and so forth and so on. Recently, they have changed the classification of the internet to, I think it's type 2, and which means your cable company, if everything passes, could increase, or I won't say increase, could throttle your internet for whatever reason. Some people say that this is where it gets a little confusing. Some people, but it all conveys the same basic thing. Your internet, your high-speed internet, whether it be DSL or cable, depending on that company's deals with sites like Netflix, eBay, Hulu, YouTube, etc., etc., could harm your internet. They could say, you know what, we have a deal with Netflix, but not with Hulu or Vudu, which is Walmart's streaming movie site. Not free, but they sell and let you have digital movies and TV. So what they could say is, like, we don't have deals with YouTube and Hulu and Vudu, but we have a deal with Netflix, so the high-speed connection that you have, it's going to show with Netflix, but Hulu's going to constantly buffer. YouTube is going to constantly buffer. Or they could say, hey, we have a deal with Amazon, so Amazon's going to load quicker. eBay is not. Target.com is not. Or vice versa. Oh, we have a deal with Walmart, but not with Amazon. So you're going to get the page for Walmart or Target faster than you will for Amazon. Or they might say, hey, instead of offering you a tier system in regards to maybe a slower internet, which even now I'm on a faster internet, thank God, because Frontier was seemingly throttling my internet or extremely slow at points that, as I've said to people, it seemed like I was running under a 56K modem instead of a high-speed internet access. But what they might do is, instead of having a gigabit internet versus a lower tier 5 megabit internet, and having that sort of extreme, they're going to say, all right, we're going to give you, for general web browsing, maybe to go to Amazon or to eBay and email, it's going to be, let's say, $15 a month. What about, you want to be able to download games or from Twitch or do multiplayer, that's going to be $25 a month. Oh, you want to do videos too, oh, that's going to be $45 a month or higher. Now, it also kind of applies to, granted, I'm sick, I'm trying to get out all this information to you. It's that bad. You want to watch Twitch, it's going to do that. And not to mention, the companies are going to if they don't charge you, the consumer, they will charge companies like Netflix. Oh, you don't want to be throttled. Therefore, we're going to, you know, pay us more money. Therefore, either way, you lose in this scenario. Because Netflix, let's say, they will be upping their, as I reported, I think a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, they're upping their prices to at least $1, $1.50 for their upper tiers in regards to TV screens and HD services. But what they're going to do is, like, if right now, as of December, it's $11 for the base system for, or the middle tier of Netflix, which is not bad. That extra money is going towards quality programming, like The Punisher, which we'll get into later this episode. But they might say, because of many companies like AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, wanting us to pay them for not throttle us, we got to pass that cost up to you. That means that $10, $11 tier system of Netflix, it might be now $20. And for cord cutters like me, Big Candy, and the millions out there that are just that, cord cutters, that's bad, especially on the many of us that are on limited income. So what can you do about this if you love streaming on YouTube, love being a YouTuber or streaming multiplayer, downloading games and so forth and so on really quickly? Well, contact your congressman. Step up. If this does go to a national vote, let's say next year, vote no. Vote no on this. Pretty much what we need, and excuse me for the cough, what we need is more competition instead of less. There are many companies in overseas that literally fight for their customers because competitively, their business, where in your area you might have, in order to have high-speed internet, it's strictly internet. I mean, cable internet, not DSL. And there's really no competition there. If you want the best, you got to go with that. Over in several companies, from what I've heard, in Europe, there are 3, 4, 5, 6, if not upwards to 7 internet companies that will charge not $40, not $50, $20 for high-speed internet, and it's closer to several gigs, like 10, 12 gig minimum gigabit internet. While us here in the States, in order to pay for a simple 1 gigabit internet, is still $60 in some places. And that's it. Well, that's why a lot of places, when you play on a foreign server or against, like, those in Britain or Ireland or in Australia, playing like Call of Duty or Halo, they're way faster, or when compared to you, they're lagging because you're on a slower internet and you have no competition for that higher speeds. But with this, again, I can't reiterate this enough. Contact your congressman. Do not let this go through. Tell them, you know, don't listen to the money that they are being bribed with. I know it's sounding political, but cable companies like Adelphia and Comcast are probably shelling out hundreds upon thousands, if not millions of dollars, to your congressmen to probably let this go through so they could milk more money off of you for shitty service. If that. Or if it is decent service in your area, you have no competition, and yet you're going to be buffering YouTube, your games that you might be downloading for either through Steam or Xbox Live or your Wii or your PlayStation. Is going to take all night, 2-3 days, just because you don't have that connection that you need to download it within 15, 20, or an hour. So you got to let your Congress people know that, hey, we don't want this type of net neutrality. We want it to be, we want competition. We want what everybody else in the world wants or has. Next up, which is equally important as that, is that I know there are a lot of people that listen, as few as you are who do listen to this, you do have kids. I'm sure there's plenty of you down the road who have kids and listen to this. So please, if you're listening to this and your kids watch YouTube or use YouTube Kids, please monitor what they're watching on YouTube. I know it's easy to give them an iPad or some sort of tablet and let them watch YouTube Kids, but please keep an eye on what they're watching. The reason why I say this is because it kind of ties in with my next topic of the current state of adpocalypse being happening on YouTube. It ties in together because, first off, there has been a lot of YouTube channels out there. This is also amongst many people being told as ElsaGate or so forth and so on, but what is going on is, it's going to trust me, please, folks, it will transition. What's going on is there are YouTube channels out there that have people dressed up like Elsa from Frozen, Spider-Man. There's animation of with Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck, or variants thereof, showing these, please excuse my speech, not just because of the raspy voice, but it shows these characters drinking pee, eating poo. Yes, I'm putting child aspects in. They're doing all these profane acts. Not to mention some of the live action stuff that shows Elsa and Spider-Man getting kidnapped, being, you know, making it look like rape in instances or beating and torture. And these videos are, could be named something like Elsa and Spider-Man dance leading to, sexy bedtime, nursery rhyme, Frozen, cartoon, Marvel, DC, and that's in the titles, gets under the YouTube algorithms, and instead of being labeled inappropriate for minors, it doesn't, and it goes straight to the YouTube Kids app, and a lot of these minors, or your kids, could be watching these profane acts and videos that are geared, sadly enough, to some adults inappropriately. So please keep an eye on what your kids are watching. And this type of ordeal is correlation with a lot of what's been brought to the surface in regards to YouTube, and that is a lot of not child pornography, but child exploitation on YouTube. Because what I've been hearing through several YouTube creators that they have uncovered the fact that there are many channels out there. I'm not talking like Daddy 05. I'm talking worse, that are catering to the people who enjoy child porn and so forth and so on, because these channels gear towards kids in their underwear. A lot of these titles are titled webcam videos, and they're kids in dance uniforms or, again, in their underwear. And some of the YouTubers, when they look up the comments, have this child predatory comments in them. And how what's been happening is it's been leading to the new adpocalypse that has been going on. And for that, because, you know, the adpocalypse, let me give you a little bit of history on that. The adpocalypse kind of started way back earlier this year. Correlation with first Wall Street Journal, as we stated earlier this year, tried to take down YouTube, being new media and the more popular media out there amongst consumers and people in their teens to 20s. They tried to take down YouTube by taking down PewDiePie. But that, despite PewDiePie's actions and what he did and what he said in recent months, it didn't work. Then the Wall Street Journal went up to several videos involving ISIS and kind of kept refreshing the page until an advert came up, which was either a Coca-Cola ad or a BMW ad, and they pretty much went, see what YouTube is doing? They're putting ads on ISIS videos. And what the advertisers pretty much went to, started crying, why did you do this? Why are you putting our ads on these videos? Why? Yes, we're being very, very upset. Why are we being so hypocritical? Because we put ads on news which shows violent content and overly sexualized content too on certain channels. Why are you doing this, YouTube? Why? Oh, why? Oh, why? So, we know what we're going to do. We're going to not pay you guys any type of advertising, therefore bankrupting a lot of innocent YouTube creators as well. So that's what they did. That's what pretty much over-dramatizing what happened with the initial adpocalypse. This is also despite the fact that YouTube, in those coming months, in order to satisfy the advertisers, instead of saying to the advertiser saying, listen, you whiny-ass motherfuckers, you advertise on national news which shows tragedy, shows overly violent content on those news programs, not to mention, you guys advertise on channels like TNT, USA, and so forth and so on, which put on violent movies either between 9 o'clock till later, that has over-violent movies, depending on what you want to call. Some people classify Aliens versus Predator overly violent, or overly sexualized content. Nonetheless, so shut the fuck up, pay us, because you're, in essence, doing the same thing, quit being hypocritical. So, they decided, okay, we'll change. So they made their terms of service even more vague than what they were. So even if you said sad clown, you were instantly demonetized or put under sorry, we can't show this video to minors. And many channels, including Ill Will Press, who runs the Foamy videos, and plus a plethora of other G-rated or neutral content creators, are seeing their videos demonetized instantly, and this is their main source of income. Not to mention, YouTube is, side note, already demonetizing and limiting videos of, I think, the extreme other side of the seat, meaning that while they're promoting YouTube channels like the Young Turks, they're not promoting people like Steven Crowder or Ben Shapiro. But that's beside the point. That's a rant for another day. But because of this, you know, child endangerment, child, you know, allegations of child porn, not so much child pornography, but this type of putting kids in a negative light or exploiting kids and taking advantage of the YouTube algorithm, new set of advertisers are saying, whoa, whoa, but this time it's more justified, saying, whoa, 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 what the fuck are you guys doing? You said you've kind of fixed this program type of ordeal, that you wouldn't be putting videos on this type of content, and therefore we're pulling our advertising money until you fix this shit. So stuff on YouTube has gone from bad to worse, in reference to YouTube creators. So anyone who wants to be a YouTube, seeing Jeff Pauly and PewDiePie still making millions upon millions of dollars and having their channels grow in order to be the next PewDiePie or Jane Pauly or FaZe Rug or Omar Gosh or whomever is making a great living off of YouTube, that's They can't, because YouTube could demonetize any one of their videos instantly. So, there's that. And to kind of move away from the negativity and kind of giving you guys the warnings to keep an eye out in reference to what your kids might be watching and how the net neutrality could be affecting you down the road, it goes to vote on December 14th. So please, Google net neutrality. There's several websites that are out there that can put you in contact with your state representative in Washington, D.C. In order to voice your concerns. There are many YouTube videos that are covering net neutrality and how you will be affected by this. And a lot of it is by a lot of great content providers like Review Tech and Some Ordinary Gamers, amongst many others, including Phil DeFranco, has talked about this before. Excuse me. But to kind of move on, Fox made it into the news recently, and this could, yes, we talked about the negativity in reference to how kids are affected with YouTube and net neutrality, but something positive, something happy, that could affect you in a positive way. You, the comic fanboy, the Marvel fanboy, excuse me, and that being that recently Fox has declared that they would rather be more news-oriented than movie and TV-oriented. Which means they're probably selling off, or will be selling off, 20th Century Fox and their TV station, Fox affiliates. Which means shows that are on Fox like Gotham and the whole whatnot of Family Guy, Simpsons, and so forth. And the whole movie side of things and their back catalog could therefore be up for grabs. And two major studios have stepped up to the plate saying, we want in. And the first studio to step up was Disney. And how is this good for you? Okay, but first, because Sony and Disney are the two that stepped up, over the past, let's say, since it's still 2017, as of this recording, over the past 17 years, comic book movies have been more and more popular. And over that, more and more fans have come to love and enjoy comics. Which, as I stated in previous rant episodes, is that when you have such a thing that you have more new fans, that means those fans are going to buy the merch, the comics, the T-shirts, the CDs, the games, the whole back catalog. Not the whole back catalog, but they're going to buy their fresh income into everything. And when you have movie studios, they pretty much, to go back further than that, back in the 90s, Marvel was about, late 80s, early 90s, Marvel's was about to go bankrupt. And that meant, during that time, a lot of comic book fans, and a lot of comic fans like myself, even though I was too young, still a little bit young to buy my own comics, we were kind of worried, what's going to happen to Marvel? Are they going to go under? Will there be no more Spider-Man, no more X-Men, no more, Doctor Strange, no more Fantastic Four? So what Marvel did was they sold a lot of their movie rights to their more popular brands at that time. So a lot of the mutants got, and Fantastic Four got sold to Fox Studios. And Spider-Man and his pretty much universe, even though all of Marvel is a shared universe, but Marvel and his characters got sold to Sony, and I think Hulk got sold to Legendary Studios. And part of that deal was that a lot of fans know for sure is that there was a time limit put on these deals. And that means that once the character set was sold, that studio, like Fox or Sony, had like 5 to 7 years to make a movie off of this. Which meant, hopefully, if they realized, hey, we got Spider-Man or we have the Fantastic Four, we can't really make this movie until the special effects has come to a point that what we need to do for this movie is plausible. But hopefully within five years, we're able to do this to recoup our money, or else the rights will go back to Marvel. But as I speculate, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat here, is that companies like Sony and Fox also had other merch deals in reference to their rights deals and to make the movies, which means that in regards to, I think, more so with Sony, it was more related towards the actual, like, posters and t-shirts in regards to the movies. And there might be a little bit figure deals in that where if Marvel released figures, like action figures or Funko figures, that more so the right, they would get more of the money. I mean, Marvel will get like 60-70%, and the studios will get like 30-40%, maybe 20%, depending on how the character looks. Meaning, if the character looks more or less like the character from Sony's Spider-Man, therefore, it might be closer to a 50-50. I'm just speculating. I could be lowballing it. I could be over highballing it. But I speculate that when it comes to this type of deal, Fox was the more problem child, because as we saw in recent years, since the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, that they kept remaking Fantastic Four just because they didn't want the rights to go revert back to Marvel, or the fact that the reason why, even though they keep doing, even though Logan and the Wolverine series was a big success, and Hugh Jackman pretty much became the current image of Wolverine, just like Patrick Stewart became the current image of Professor X, great character actor choices for those roles. And they did probably decided when the contracts came to be renewed, they wanted closer to a 60-40% in favor of Fox on everything. Comics, t-shirts, posters, the whole nine yards. Meaning Marvel got closer to 40%. And that's why in recent years we saw a kind of a reduction in Fantastic Four storylines, or at least that's what I heard. There was a reduction of Fantastic Four storylines, if not canceled altogether, a reduction of mutant storylines, because Fox owns all the mutant storylines, or the mutant characters. So, therefore, if Disney buys the Fox, 20th Century Fox, it's a good thing, because everything they could say to Marvel, here you go. Here's all the stuff that the nasty Fox took away from you. Now, mind you, because Ghost Rider was owned by Fox, and what else? Punisher was also owned by Fox. Those movies are still kind of owned by Fox, I think, but the rights went back to Marvel. That's why we have a Punisher series on Netflix, and that's why we've been seeing a version of Ghost Rider, or Ghost Rider in essence, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a good thing. But again, if Disney is able to acquire Fox, 20th Century Fox, in regards to the whole aspect of the movies, that means once the current generation of Marvel cinematic storyline is over with, they could say, okay, reboot, let's now do everything with the movie, let's redo the movie universe with now the mutants in on everything. That means we could redo the X-Men, we could do redo Wolverine. We could do everything else with, including Iron Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange. Everything now with more mutants, and do it right, do it justice. Even though we did a damn good job first time around with what we had, which is good for you, the fans, because that is, it's immediately Disney and Marvel makes all the money. Now, if Sony acquires Fox movie stuff, now how does this mean that you, the fans, win? Well, look at Spider-Man Homecoming. Pretty much, what happened was, Sony and Marvel came to a deal. I guess Sony came to the aspect of, hey, you guys are doing a damn good job with your universe. We're not really ready to give you the rights back to Spider-Man, but you know what? Let's talk here, and we'll let you for a deal, a little bit better. We'll cut you a little bit better deal as long as we get some cash in, and we'll share the, you know, some of the movie instead of you guys getting like 40% or 50% of the movie stuff, the movie money. You get the bulk of the movie profits. You get 85% of the movie profits. We get about 15-20% after, you know, the people are paid and the contracts and the movie merch stuff. We'll increase it to the move, you know, we'll give you a little bump. Let's see how you do. And they made a good deal with it. Sony made a good move. So because of this open negotiation with Disney and for the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with Spider-Man, the talks are already open. The door is pretty much that Marvel has the foot in the door and talking with Sony in regards to Spider-Man. So if Sony gets the Fox stuff, they could say, hey, Sony, that whole aspect of with the mutants and all, you let us deal with it. Let's cut a better deal than what's currently on the paper. You let us deal with it. We'll give you the same deal. Give us the same deal with like you did with Spider-Man, and we'll handle it. And you just take in all the cash. You know what? We know, let's say the deal with Fox was like 60-40 in favor of Fox. Let's make that more 55-45. Let's make it 45 you and 55 us. That way, we're both kind of making, you're making a bulk of your money back, and we get, instead of us getting scraps in reference to royalties, you're getting you're starting to get your money back. We'll deal with it, and just, again, look what we did with Spider-Man Homecoming. You just let us deal with that. And again, the fans are happy, especially if they do that, and that deal was worked out with the mutants, and coming home to Fox. Just that the only thing is, Ryan Reynolds and Rob Liefeld, as much as the fans fucking hate him, and that's, again, rants down the road, but that fact is, they don't want this any deal with Sony or Disney happening just yet, because Deadpool 2 is either in production right now, or still not yet released, let me say that. And they just want the aspect of, let Deadpool 2 at least be released, let it happen, then the deal could, you know, be finalized after Deadpool 2. That way, we could have a decent R-rated movie, which, again, is another rant for another time, in regards to R-rated films and comic books. But still, that's that. In other Marvel news, this came across my desk. I don't know why or what the circumstances that happened behind it. But apparently, in a lot of the articles and YouTube videos that I've heard, there has been no reason why it happened, but this did happen. As of last week or so, Marvel Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso has pretty much stepped down. He will be leaving Marvel. The article that I read and a few that I've videos I've seen, they have not stated why he left, if he was fired or he stepped down, just that he was leaving Marvel. And the person to take his place was C.B. Sobieski. I'm probably butchering his name, but if C.B. ever stumbles across this podcast, please forgive me. Now, the thing is, a lot of people kind of, at least the YouTube videos I saw, they're kind of embracing this, that hopefully, are embracing this as a possible change, because they've foreseen that Marvel is going downhill. And even we here at the show have stated, in not only my solo episodes, that in the past, that we've stated that Marvel is going downhill. They are, in some of their instances, they're losing touch with their fans. This is the biggest fear amongst many comic book fans out there. Not all. They're losing in touch with their core fan base. They don't, Marvel themselves as a comic book company, not as a movie company. As a comic book company, a lot of people have said, because the new fans from the movies, as I've stated, are coming in to wanting to buy comic books as part of the merch and not realizing they're not getting the Tony Stark Iron Man, or the fact that they're not getting a Chris Hemsworth Thor. They're not buying that merch. Even though it might be the right thing to do comic-wise at the time, it might not necessarily be the best thing. In recent past, when they tried to make a mixed alter ego for Spider-Man, pretty much they were pressured to bring back Peter Parker. This was back in the when Amazing Spider-Man was coming out, because they were in fear that when people came to buy Spider-Man merch, they would not see Peter Parker, and thus they'd be losing out on that extra money. But I digress. I don't know. I haven't been reading Spider-Man lately. I haven't read Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man in such a long time because of the whole aspect of one more day. But still, with this new editor-in-chief, we might see a reinvention of the wheel, like all new management for an editor-in-chief. I've met him once or twice years ago, and he seemed like a great guy, a nice guy, and he has an eye for talent that a lot of fans are saying that instead of bringing in people who know nothing about the characters that they're writing, or never written a comic book before in their life, therefore, he knows the people in the industry who's good and might bring quality work back into Marvel and hopefully increase sales. I'm willing to say time will tell what happens. I'm going to try to keep my ear to the ground and to see what happens and hear what happens and see if it things do turn around in reference to the comic book industry. And kind of moving on, let's move on to Justice League. I did see this, the Justice League movie. This is going to be a combination review and talking about Justice League and with it, because it was a very, I'm more of a Marvel fanboy than I am a DC fanboy, but I'm not that diehard of a fan, but yes, I had to take a drink. My voice was getting scratchy. As we stated many months ago, and I think it was our hostful with Big Candy, that there was months of reshoots to do for this. And because of the reshoots were going to happen regardless. But the main reshoots that were going to be done were going to be by Zack Snyder. And Zack Snyder had to step down due to various family reasons. I forgot what they were, and I'm not going to go into them right now, but he had to step down. So, that being said, I think Josh Whedon took over, and news came out a while ago that what was going to happen was there was going to be, along with some of the reshoots, there was going to be an additional one or two additional scenes that were going to be added that were written by Josh Whedon. Zack Snyder came to Josh Whedon and said, "Hey, I'm going to need one or two extra additional scenes. They're going to be maybe towards the end of the movie. I need somebody to write something, and your name keeps coming up. Your name keeps popping up. Hey, let's work together. Let's talk." But since Zack Snyder stepped down, Josh Whedon took over the reshoots via the studio, I think, according to some of the reports. But what it led to was it wasn't just, hey, let's do 2 months worth of reshoots. This was like 5-6 months worth of reshoots, and that's pretty much partly scheduling to get the certain actors and actresses in to do their roles. And when it's that long, that you're just reshooting the whole movie as it is instead of one or two scenes or adding one or two scenes into the movie. And what it also caused was a lot of Josh Whedon's known for his humor and adding decent humor to his work. There's nothing wrong with that, but in with this type of movie, it does not work. It seems forced. Not to mention with all the editing right before the film was released, led to a lot of bad CGI, namely Superman jump away. I think that kind of worked out. It came out more decently due to the fact that I'm sick than, therefore, me overly faking it like I just did. But, again, that's besides the point. The actor who plays Superman in this, he came back for his reshoots, and he had a very thick mustache, according to various people that I talked to and saw in reports, which led to the aspect of, look at the bad CGI job on Superman. Yes, I spoiled it. Superman has, it makes an appearance in Justice League. While we're spoiling it, Charlton Heston spoiling things. The kid in Sixth Sense sees dead people. Charlton Heston's character in the original Planet of the Apes was on Earth the whole time. Darth Vader is Luke's father, and Carrot Top is not that funny. But, again, with the spoilers, with this, the CGI to remove that mustache made his upper lip look bad, and about as fake as the sharks in Sharknado. At times, they tried to work around it. Again, but all in all, the strongest character or the person that seemed to carry the weight of this movie more than anything was Gal Gadot herself as Wonder Woman. And I am not lying with that. I'm not knocking Ben Affleck or any of the other people in this movie. Just that she seemed to carry this movie, period. She had the strongest scenes. She had pun possibly intended. She had the biggest opening sequence or introductory sequence in this, because that's where in essence started out with, was with her. And there's this one scene, again, it's in the opening part of the movie, where she's taking down this group that's taking hostages in a museum, and one of the goons uses his semi-automatic or automatic assault rifle and uses the butt to whack her on the head with this, which once it happened, I kept hearing the vine that was out last year or the year before, and it pretty much was like that imitation Morgan Freeman. This is when Goon number 4 realized he fucked up. Because all she did was turn at him, look, give him a look like, I'm going to fucking kill you. So it was, as some said, a cringe fest. But one person posted to a group that I'm on, and he had a lot of interesting things to say. I'm not saying they were bad, but I'm going to say that he had a lot of good points in his statement, his comment in reference to the Justice League movie, and so let's go over them. He stated, 1, non-DC fans are gun-shy and will wait until word of mouth says it's good or not. Critics may contribute to this, but mostly it's peer review influence. And this is me. I'm going to break away from this comment, and add my commentary to his comments. This is true. He's got a point with this because more and more fans that are coming into the industry and buying comics and reading comics, they're not or those who would want to watch this movie, they're not fans. They want to get an escape for an hour and a half, 2 hours, or 2.5 hours. They want to know that this movie's good, so they're going to ask their geeky friends. And a lot of times their geeky friends are going to go, it was, well, meh. It wasn't the best, it wasn't the worst, but it's meh. So, that being said, they might not go see this movie. Number 2. The drama surrounding the production adds to that hesitation. A case of too many cooks spoils the soup kind of deal. You have Zach, Josh, and the studio all futzing with it, and it shows, and the audience knows it. This is what I stated earlier in reference to the reshoots, the studio involvement, Zack Snyder stepping down, so forth and so on. Well, the milk is actually helping. But that's that sort of thing. It kind of leads to that when the casual fan or the casual moviegoer hears, hey, there was 8 months of reshoots, the initial director stepped down, so they had to bring this person on. So fans get skeptical. Moviegoers get skeptical. So far, they're not going to go. Number 3. They have a strict release schedule. So the effects and reshoot teams didn't have enough time to fine-tune and perfect scenes. So much of the CG looks horrible. And that's what I was saying with the CG. That a lot of times sometimes when it comes to video games, and sometimes the movies do get pushed back, but sometimes the studio says, no, we want this release date at this time. Meaning if they want to put out a new Friday the 13th movie, and they would love to have it on a Friday the 13th release. So, therefore, they're going to say, no, we can't push it back. We cannot move it up. We can't push it back. So, we want it to be this date. So, they got to rush. And so forth. Again, that's when a good movie could turn bad. The marketing, number 4. Again, I'm sorry for the pauses, folks. I do have a cold. My voice is very scratchy. I'm trying to plow through, so please forgive the pauses and everything else. Now, number 4. The marketing did not do a very good job getting everyone hyped for the movie and the cast. Though they tried, didn't seem excited about promoting the project. Meaning they showed up to the shows and promoted it, but could not seem genuinely excited and proud of the project. Again, this is probably due to the reshoots and being called back. So they probably weren't happy about that. And they're right. This person was right about the marketing. I've seen more adverts, being a cord cutter, more adverts on YouTube and the CW app in regards to Wonder Woman than I did the Justice League. And I didn't see anything Justice League. About the only times I might have seen any Justice League footage was on Facebook about somebody promoting it, and that's it. Someone else saying, hey, look at the Justice League stuff. The new trailer's out. Nothing natural on YouTube or CW. Even when I was at a friend's house watching TV with them, there was no adverts in reference to go see Justice League Now. There was more Call of Duty World War II stuff and Destiny 2 stuff being aired on TVs than there was Justice League. Number 5. They overcorrected and fiddled with it, making the tone, style, and characterizations non-consistent, almost jarring shift from Batman to Superman to Justice League. They made it more humorous, but much of it was more forced humor rather than natural humor, forced lightness rather than letting the movie be itself, and a cookie-cutter plot that all has already been done to death. Get Cube MacGuffin and stop Big Baddie and his interchangeable drones from taking over the world. Now, first off, before I go give my thoughts to this thing, for those of you who do not know what MacGuffin is, if you want a better explanation than what I'm about to give, please go to YouTube. There are plenty of YouTubers out there. I think he does cinema. I think it starts with cinema. Hold on a second. Yeah, the channel is Cinemassacre. I think he's also the same person that does Angry Video Game Nerd, but still. The channel is called Cinemassacre. He does a lot of history in reference to movies as well as gaming. So he might be able to search his back catalog about MacGuffins. But pretty much what a MacGuffin is usually an item or something that the plot surrounds around. Current examples might include the map in Star Wars Force Unleashed, a lightsaber, or a crystal skull, or the Ark of the Covenant, on and on and on. And that's what usually a MacGuffin is. Sometimes it could be a person, sometimes it could be, more often or not, it's an object. But then again, I'm going to point to Cinemassacre for, plus other channels just like it, that might explain what a MacGuffin is better than I just did. But still, what he's talking about is that there are a lot of, what they mean by a cookie-cutter plot, you could look at Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, Avengers, pretty much, he could be taking a jab at Marvel with this comment, but this point, but I don't think so. But it could be the aspect of also how stuff like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Thor Ragnarok, you have that natural humor in it, or the humor seems natural. A lot of what happens in Justice League, the humor seems forced. You could see in aspects where Ben Affleck, who tends to play Batman and Bruce Wayne just fine, therefore you could tell there's other aspects of there's the cut, and he's a goofball, or trying to make Batman more humorous. Therefore, the humor seems unnatural. That being said, I'll go into it after I read this person's comments. Number 6, the stupid, not over 2-hour directive and chopping it down from 2 movies to 1. So let's get this straight. You know, you now want to tell a 6-hour story in under 2, and use the mini boss as the main boss now. That is just idiotic. Okay, what he means by that is simply, I think, like how they're using, I think there's going to be 2 Avengers, not Injustice, something wrong, the new Avengers Infinity War. I'm sorry, I couldn't get to it. The cold is clogging my head. So, it's what I think Marvel is doing with Avengers Infinity Wars is putting out two movies. Meaning that movie one, or part one, will be all the teams coming together and trying to work out a plan where Thanos is going to get the gauntlet and put the rings together, and you're going to have the team up of Guardians, Thor, Hulk, the rest of the Avengers, including Spider-Man, coming together and getting the introductions out of the way. And in part two, you're going to have the pretty much the rest of the movie, which would be the main fight, them working out the finer tunes of the plans, that sort of thing. But with this, Justice League, there was, I think, also the aspect of one and two. But the one being probably going into a little bit more depth in regards to the Flash a little bit, Aquaman, maybe a little bit more Wonder Woman, a little bit more Batman, a little bit more Cyborg, before, and what's going on, and maybe dealing with the main baddie in Justice League before what happens in the sequel. Meaning, I think the initial aspect of this as well, it was going to be Darkseid. Again, I've heard both. So, I'm going to just say Darkseid. That in this one, it was going to be the lead up. You're going to have the introduction to Darkseid. You're going to have the introduction to the characters, the Cyborg, Aquaman, the Flash, etc., etc. Then, and Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Wonder Woman getting the team together to go up against this boss one, so to speak. Then it leading to Darkseid coming down. Hey, this guy gets defeated by the Justice League. He goes home, and in the after credits, you see, hey, it's Darkseid. Dun, 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 dun. Now we got to deal with Darkseid coming down. Therefore, again, with this, they could have left Superman out of it and bring him back for the sequel. Have him take care of Darkseid. But no, they wanted, again, they didn't want to be just like Marvel, yet be like Marvel. So, therefore, you have to bring him back in this movie somehow. So, that's what he's saying with that. Yeah, it should have been expanded, should have been a little bit better, but it wasn't. And also of which, if you're just watching this as an independent movie, you're a casual fan, you're not into the comic books, I'm going to give it a hard 6.5 out of 10, but it has its problems. The CGI is not fine-tuned a lot in places. Again, as this person commented, a lot of the humor seems forced, and even though there was a few good scenes, there was a little bit of a tuffle with Wonder Woman, Bruce Wayne over an idea. She gives him a shove hard, not a hard shove, just might be equivalent of a love tap on her hand, kind of give him the idea that I am still way stronger than you. And Flash, pretty much, or Barry Allen, gives him, turns to Bruce Wayne and pretty much says, if she kills you, we're backing her up. Which is a brilliant, funny line and brilliant on his part. He had a lot of great one-liners and some decent jokes. I still couldn't help but think, because I made the meme in regards to Aquaman. Someone else made a similar meme prior to that. It was in essence, a picture of Aquaman, and with the captions, ooh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? But still, he had a few decent humor. In a way, it was almost like they wanted to mimic Avengers, but couldn't. But also with this, a lot of the fans put on their own type of tinfoil hat, saying that the critics are, because the Rotten Tomatoes score for this was way too low, so the fans were up in arms about it, saying, "This, how could the critics favor Marvel movies better than DC movies? So it's all conspiracy theory." And recently, it's come to the point that they created a petition to Warner Brothers wanting the Zack Snyder cut of this movie. Can you believe that? Not to mention, Zack Snyder has come out to say he supports this petition, and I think it has several hundred to several thousand signatures on it already. I haven't taken a look, but I know that I've been seeing news saying that this petition exists, and Zack Snyder actually supports it. So we might actually see a Zack Snyder cut of this movie. Now, to kind of move on from that, I did see a little bit of Punisher. I didn't get, because of my holiday schedule and everything else, I didn't get to power watch it all yet. So I'm only a few episodes of this, I think 12 episode season. And from what I've seen, it's kind of brutal. Even though some fans say it kind of slows down later on in the season. But I want to wait and see. So once I plow through it, I'll give you a better review of this television show series or Netflix series. But from what I've seen, it's brutal. It's good. What's his name? Who plays the Punisher does a bang up job in it. And I want to see more. I want to hopefully that when this comes, it'll get a season 2, and Disney does not decide to pull this and its other Netflix shows until later on down the road. And it looks like until, according to some reports, it looks like Disney might not be pulling all of its, all of its Disney stuff off of Netflix until probably late 2018, if not early 2019, when its streaming service finally comes into play. So there's that. And for those of you who follow us on Netflix, you know I posted up what appears to be a Nightmare on Elm Street TV series or Netflix series. Some reports are coming in that it's a fan-made series type of ordeal. But if that's be the case, it's a damn good trailer for it. But if it's an actual Netflix series that might be coming out or in production, I'm willing to give it an episode or two to check it out. But there's something I want to give a review about real quick. And that is if you didn't catch our episodes over the last 2 weeks, you know that as of this episode, 2 weeks ago, we did a crossover episode with Scott from Podcast Bay. I do, again, recommend checking him out, his show out, about how some people do their podcasts. It's very informative. He's a super great guy. And check out our crossover with him. But we made a passing comment about bronies. And we kind of laid down a little bit of a dish to the bronies, and that we're not fans of the whole aspect of being bronies and the whole My Little Pony culture. So what happened was, last week, I had a Burn the Comedian on, aka Bernie, aka Burn the Comedian, and he gave us, I do recommend listening to his episode, because it's a great episode about wrestling and Dungeons and Dragons. He kind of trolled the show, he trolled me in the show, in giving us, this book, called My Little Pony, Tales of Equestria, The Storytelling Game. This is a Dungeons and Dragons type of tabletop game geared around My Little Pony. Again, I am not a fan of My Little Pony. I'm not a brony. But I think Brent, I have to recheck the episode myself, but he wants us to, he invited everybody in regards to the show to do a kind of a let's play with this book. Tales of Equestria, My Little Pony. So, You know, for the sake of content and sake of shits and giggles and laughter, I might go ahead and do it. But I'll say this, I have no way of comparing this to an actual D&D book in regards to everything. What was I surprised about was the additional products for it that you could pick up, which is pony sheet pads, which is, I think, the character sheets. There's expansion books, dice tins. By the way, Bernie, a.k.a. Burn the Comedian, gave us a metal purple 20-sided die, which is extremely cool. There is a, like a GM screen or DM screen. There's tokens of friendship that you could buy, and according to the description is, these fragments of pure crystallized friendship allow you to keep track of the tokens of friendship you have earned, and it's much nicer to actually hand out a shiny crystal when you give it as a present to a friend. Well, it does come with a character sheet or a pony sheet. I do think there are a plethora of characters in the My Little Pony fandom or show as it is. I'm familiar with one due to the fact of Death Battle doing a show in regards to one that tends to break the fourth wall. It was against Deadpool himself. So, but it gives ideas to do storylines. It does give characters and a list of talents, tests and challenges I think you can do. The elements of harmony and so forth and so on. But, and different, everything else. The art in it kind of reminds me of that of what I've seen of casting glances of My Little Pony, which means the thick outline and almost the aspect of like Dexter Labs and Powerpuff Girls and so forth and so on, and Samurai Jack, that long lines of art style. Nothing against that art style. I have to actually read through the book, and hopefully my mind is not affected by this, but that's that. What else can I say? By the way, start of the broadcast in reference to like Black Friday, I did get some great deals from at least from Walmart. I picked up and from Xbox Live, being a gold member, I picked up BioShock Remastered, which was all three games and the DLC. I was kind of pleasantly surprised and shocked not to see the multiplayer for the BioShock 2 taken out of the game and replaced with the Trials. Now, for those of you not familiar with BioShock, BioShock 2, when it first was released many years ago, had a multiplayer aspect to it, but a lot of fans did not like it. They said it was forced. Therefore, I guess that's for the remaster, they took it out and at least gave everybody Trials, which is kind of nice. And the other thing I picked up really dirt cheap was, that I was pleasantly surprised and shocked over, was the new South Park game, South Park Fractured But Whole. What I realized was, a lot of the copies that I seen, kind of the box, from the box, said that it comes with the first South Park game, South Park Stick of Truth. And I thought, how cool is that? Not only am I getting, because Walmart had it for $12.50, which was a great Black Friday deal. So not only am I getting one game for $12.50, I'm getting two games for $12.50. So that's $6.25 a piece. Come to find out, once I opened up the box and took the cellophane off, it came with the Towel-y character, which means I wasn't expecting to get Towel-y. Towel-y was a pre-order bonus. So, in essence, I got a pre-order copy for $12.50. So, that's awesome. That's good. I also picked up Call of Duty World War II. Because I have a few friends, I think, that are playing it right now. Not so much right now as of this recording, but they're playing it, and I'll probably be able to play multiplayer with them and playing zombies again with them. So that's great. That's nice. Hopefully, in the next coming weeks or days, I'll be streaming these movies, not so much on YouTube, but since my Xbox One comes with the kind of a mix, the app is called Mixer. It's correlation with Mixer.com, which is a site similar to Twitch. It might be Microsoft's version of Twitch, but either way, it's a offshoot. It's a Twitch-like site. I don't know who owns it. It could be Microsoft. It could be an independent company. But either way, Microsoft has partnered with Mixer to put this on their console, so allow players like myself stream games on through their console. Kind of like what you see, or I wouldn't say you see, but people like Sasha the Princess of Darkness and Jay Leal tend to do with their PlayStations. They do PlayStation Live. Not only could they probably stream Twitch on their consoles, but they can stream their games to, or their broadcasts straight to YouTube. Now, I can't do that with my Xbox One, but I can broadcast to Mixer. When I do decide to broadcast to Mixer using the show's name, I will give a link out through Twitter in regards to that. But prior to me kind of closing out the show, because it's kind of going on long enough, I will say this. Because he's been starting to stream a lot of games through YouTube, and they'll air a lot of his shows on his YouTube channel, I do recommend at least going on Twitter and following the Reverend Jay Leal. I'll put his link, his Twitter link, in our show notes description. I think it's Skeleton Crew brand. So don't quote me on it. I'm just trying to give a shout out to Jay Leal, and he does a lot of great podcasts. So there's that. So check him out on YouTube. Search Rev Jay Leal. I'll probably put his YouTube channel in the description as well, so that way you can be not only notified when he starts to do his live streams, you can just click right over to his live stream. Follow him on YouTube as well, so it's easier for you to follow him there too. So it's when he does announce that, hey, I'm doing a live streaming of this particular game. I think he wants to do a Skyrim series for the time being, so he might be streaming a lot of Skyrim, or he could be doing Call of Duty. He could be doing anything he so wishes. He tends to keep it clean, so that's nice. He is, for the most part, family friendly, at least when it comes to streaming his games. So I'll provide both, and I'll give him a shout out here, so that way you could follow him and watch him on YouTube and participate in his chat. If you tend to watch a lot of your YouTube on your computer, but if you watch through your console or your smart TV, you could still watch what he says and see the chat through the TV screen, or your monitor, or your phone. So there's that, and you can also participate in chat through your phone as well. So, again, I'll give his Twitter and YouTube, so you could stalk him that way and find out when he's doing his live streams. And when I'm doing my live streams, I'll put the link through our Twitter, which is at Longcoat Mafia, plus all our social media links are in our show description. So, but as always, our Twitter is Longcoat Mafia. Our Instagram is also Longcoat Mafia. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks in regards to anything I said today, you can do so by 1. Emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or 2. Heading over to our Facebook page and leaving us a message that way. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And while you're there, don't forget to click on follow or like. Like or follow our page there, and you can leave us a message and see what we post and be alerted to when, if you're not a subscriber to us on Apple Podcasts / iTunes or Google Play Music, you're able to know when a new show is dropped and have a direct link. And speaking of direct links, we have all our shows on our main website, so if you want to go back to listen to any past episode, you can do so by going to the longcoatmafia.podbean.com. And the word the is part of the website, and it's all one word. So we have all our past episodes going back way to the beginning, including our beta episodes. And but if you rather not listen to us through our website, but rather subscribe to us, you can do so by subscribing to us through iTunes / Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music. By doing so, you not only get our latest episode instantly, you don't have to wait at any point to get our current episode. So, and while you're there, please rate and review us. It does help us in some way. So, that's that. Oh, before I forget, I almost forgot. I honestly forgot. I have a treat for you guys before I go. Since a lot of what I get comes, my desk, in essence, is pretty much like Facebook. I get a lot of ideas and a lot of my topics through Facebook, and sometimes I get new stories that way, too, through places like comicbook.com and other news sources. But I got what appears to be a possible promo number. So what we're going to do is we're going to call them to see what happens. But I don't know if the number is still operational or not. I'm not going to give it out right away. I will say this. When I first did it, I called it and I recorded it just in case. But I'm going to say it where this right now, so it doesn't come across hypocritical. I'm not going to give the number now, even though I know what it is. I'm not going to give it now, just in case it did change. That meaning that if the number went to a private person, like a John Smith or something or someone like that, I don't want that. That number brought, you know, his that number told, given out to a whole mess of people. So, where is it? Ah, here it is. I'm not going to dial up, but I will bring it up. Let me increase the volume of my phone. And let me call. Put it up. And speak. Come on, bigger. That's what I'm getting right now. I'm getting the busy signal. So, let me just hang up because my phone was wanting to act a little bit funky. So, speaker. It's a busy signal. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the call. I'm going to back away. I am going to, because again, I recorded the call earlier this week. I'm going to do a little bit of editing magic, and I'm going to add the call in right here.
You reached the Derry Police Department. If you're calling with information regarding the missing children of Derry, please leave a message. Rest assured, we're doing everything we can to find out what's happening to the children of our town. Now, if you want to join the hunt, you can search for the missing children by searching hashtag AlamoFloats and following at DraftHouse. See if search parties are happening in your area. Remember, do not talk to strangers and obey the citywide 7 p.m. curfew. Together.
Hello, kiddo. I'm Pennywise, the dancing clown. But not with the strangers anymore, are we? Do you want a balloon?
And how about that, folks? It was a promo piece, obviously, for an Alamo movie theater out of Kansas for Stephen King's movie It. I thought it was kind of awesome when I first heard it. And it's a great promo piece that they did. Now, again, the person who sent out this little the number didn't do it justice in reference to describing it. It says, to all my Stephen King fan friends, if you call this number, it goes to the Derry Police Department, and you hear the cop die and Pennywise talks to you. It's kind of badass, y'all. You're welcome. But he doesn't do it justice. It's just a promo piece for the movie. I thought it was kind of cool at the time. It was a great treat for the fans. And the reason why I think it's busy now is because this post was put up on Facebook, and it might have gone viral. And me getting it earlier in the week, it wasn't swamped with a call. So it could have changed to something more Thor-related, or it could have went to something more Justice League-related now, thus it's getting more calls or something different. So that's why it's busy, as you heard. But since it goes to an Alamo draft house or movie theater in Kansas, I'm not going to be too guilty given the number. But if it does go to someone like Tommy Franco or something like that, please say, sorry, you got the wrong number. You thought this movie was going to a theater. So, either way, the number is 1-913-535-6280. That's all I'm going to say about the number. I'm not going to repeat it. You're welcome, probably welcome to give it a try. But you heard from the dial tones, you heard that's the number I called. You can match it up. And that's the message that was given out to the public. Again, it was fun. If you have any more questions, or if you like me doing the phone call stuff, again, you can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And again, as always, I am the Reverend Godfather, and you just listened to another episode of the Longcoat Mafia podcast. Again, you could subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Longcoat Mafia Podcast. Plus, our main website, as always, is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, the word the is part of the website, and we have everything linking to, like, blogs and past episodes and characters, which I gotta add one or two people on into it. So, yes, it needs updating, but still, don't forget to follow Jay Leal by using the links I provide in the show description. He's going to probably be somewhat ecstatic that I giving him shout-outs. And don't forget, I'll probably, when she does more live streaming and episodes, I'll share her stuff through Twitter, which via our Twitter on Facebook, and that is Sasha's Princess of Darkness. She should be doing more. Oh, quiet you. When that happens, I'll share her channel and her links then. So, either way, have a good weekend. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and a safe few days past that. Be well, and hopefully I'll be better soon and be able to do better rants and raves as soon as I'm better. And please celebrate with the show. As of right now, we are completely 8 months. I'm going to say it's a record for at least me going 8 months, almost going on 9 months in regards to having not resort to a retro episode of The Electric Eye, which I might have to later this month, meaning December. So either way, take care, have a safe holiday, and I'll see you next week on the Longcoat Mafia podcast.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.